welcome on to the call, the head coach of the Towson Tigers, Rob Ambrose. Good afternoon, Rob.
Good afternoon, guys.
A tough day for your team in Morgantown, 65-7 loss at West Virginia, but how did you feel like your team competed in that game?
Well, clearly not as well as we needed to be. they got the ball, and that's, you know, cool. And I knew that we knew they were going to run it. And 12 play drive. And on this, you would never think that a kickoff return for a touchdown is actually a bad thing. But truth be told, we didn't get on the field until over 10 minutes into the game. They had two drives. They had 22, 23 plays before our offense ever saw the field. Now, it was great that we got a touchdown, but the offense sitting on the sideline for that much time, it tends to steal a little bit of possible rhythm, and you feel like you're coming from behind. You don't get anything started. So that was a challenge. I think kids got over it eventually. We played a ton of kids, gave them a great experience. Clearly we need to tackle better. We didn't stop, period. And we need to be more improved. Let's put it that way.
I know you well enough to know that you go into every game planning to win it, but when you're facing a Big 12 team on the road in that type of environment, what do you think was the biggest thing you were able to take away from that might benefit you as the season goes along?
Just the general experience. You take the flow of the game away and how much momentum we did or didn't have and all that good stuff. It's just one-on-one matchups, side of ball matchups, how well these guys match, Power 5 guys. Deep, you know, how deep we went, who played well, who didn't play well, and a great evaluator. It's a great chance to go, okay, this is what I am. This is what I'm not. This is what we are. This is what we aren't. And it's a great measuring stick moving forward. You know, that knock on wood, depending, you know, as an FCS head coach, percentage-wise, you line up knowing that your odds are you're down one to start, you're out of conference schedule, and the goal is to get out of it bare minimum 2-1. And every one of us every now and then, you know, gets a shot to knock off somebody up above us, and that looks really good. But it's coming out of you're out of conference schedule early in the season healthy. That is a necessity in our league, and really having a great understanding of what you can be and where you need to grow.
You touched on Diego's 96-yard return that made it 7-7 in a hurry. He's been a special guy for you for a while. What does his ability to make game-breaking plays mean for you as you head down the road?
Oh, I think he's a pain in the butt. He's a multifaceted player. He plays tailback. He plays wide out. And he's one of the best returners in the league, one of the most consistent returners in the league over his career. And to be honest, the guy behind him, he's pretty talented. I don't know who to give it to, but Diego's not going to let that guy have the ball. To be able to do that on the opening kickoff return in that environment against that competition speaks well to him, but it also speaks well to the special teams unit that did it. He's not doing that by himself. It's not like he made 11 guys miss. 10 other guys did their job amazingly well in that kind of environment. That's definitely something we can build off of.
Question for you this afternoon from Ed Lee. Go ahead, Ed.
Bob, I wanted to follow up about Diego. Is this what you envisioned from him when you recruited him out of Eastern View?
Oh, most definitely. This is exactly it. He played tailback. We knew that he had a wideout ability, and we knew he had return ability. And truth be told, he is one of the true best athletes on our team. If you ask him about basketball, he's going to get all fired up because he believes he's the best basketball player on the team. I'm sure Muggsy Bogues felt the same way, and he was pretty darn good. So, you know, he's a very talented athlete. It's our job to find the different ways to get him the ball.
Borrowing off your last comment, finding the ways to get him the ball, is that difficult, though, in the grand scheme of things? Because I'm sure other opposing defenses are keying in on him.
Sure, but it's awful hard to key on a person that does so many different things. It's not, and find me somebody on the other side of the ball that can do what he can do. They call him the hummingbird for a reason. Like, it's awful hard to catch, seriously. And it's our job to be creative in finding ways to get him the ball because of what he can do with
it. Did you come up with that nickname?
Hummingbird? Yeah. No, I did not. I cannot take credit for that. That would be the defensive coordinator, Coach Daniels.
Thanks, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ed.
Rob, one of the guys who had a nice day for you on offense with Kendall James, 5 catches in that game, 44 yards, 3 catches at least in all 3 games of the season. What has he done to stand out in your receiving core?
Well, it's not easy to come from somebody else's school to a different school in a short period of time, get acclimated, and then find success. You know, throwing the ball, catching the ball, and having a decent pass game is about timing in a lot of ways. And him finding that so early, to be honest, I don't believe he's scratched this any kind of close to his ceiling. He's just not. We've seen him do way more than what he's done. And I believe that as the season progresses, he'll just continue to get better.
We didn't really have a chance to touch on it because some other questions last week, but Terrell Pigram has provided so many options for you last week with over 100 yards passing and running, which hadn't happened at your place since Tom Flacco. Not to compare the two of them, because I know they're different type of players, but do you find yourself with his skill set maybe dusting off some plays that you used so effectively when Tom was there?
Well, I find that to be an incredibly intelligent question. You really think that I'm going to say yes or no before we go play somebody so maybe they can go back and look at that? Yeah. I think that would be a wise idea. To be honest, in the end, it is there's no true set system. There's no set playbook. It is constantly finding intelligent ways to get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. That's not rocket science. That's just football. And we're going to continue to do the best we can. And as long as he's successful, the offense will be too.
Conference play this week. You open with a New Hampshire team that's already off to a 2-0 start in CA play. As you start to look at them with a new head coach, a guy who's been around for a while, Rick Sandoz, what are some of the challenges that they present for you?
All right, well, I love Ricky, but I'm not going to call him a new head coach. He's been around for ages. Christ, I feel like he's been around as long as I have, and I've been here pretty long. Offensively, they're always creative. They always figure out a good way to run the ball. They're good up front. Lob's a really, really good tailbone, but you got more of a 1-2 punch. I'm impressed by both their quarterbacks and their skill players on the outside. And then, you know, defensively up front, you guys talk enough about them asking me that question. It's like talking to the wall. They're really, really good up front. They are. They're talented. They're savvy as a team. They're always going to give you some kind of give me a trick play that they stole off from somebody, either from the old days or the new days. We'll see that early on. Everybody knows that. I mean, it's the standard tough, strong, well-coached, hustling UNH team. It's reason why they're in the mix every year, just like everybody else in the league.
What makes Lobby, they do so many different things with him. What makes him so difficult to defend?
I think he's got great vision, balance, and he's got gears that you think you have him locked in the gear that he's in, and he has another one he's going to run away from you. That we're going to have 11 guys to the ball to put him down, or he's going to make plays. And he's proven to do that against any competition.
Your team, we touched on from the start, had a lot of new guys. You've now had 3 games to sort of take a look at them before you start CA play. What's the biggest takeaway that you've got from those 3 games that makes you feel good about this team heading into CA play?
I think their ability to come together has been impressive. You know, we still had, I don't know, what do you have, 6? I think I lost 6 guys last week for COVID, which just blows my mind that we're still doing that. But finding a way for these guys to be teammates and not just guys that play football together, but guys that are truly invested in each other. That you don't, you know, this group doesn't call each other out. They kind of call each other up. They're like, I think you're better than what you just gave me. Give me more. And I find that to be pretty impressive. As long as we can maintain that, I think there's a growth pattern that gets stronger than a normal season because you have those kind of individuals that are hungering for that personal connection along with football. So I got some eclectic personalities now. I got some different dudes, some 1-year different dudes into it, and it makes it fun. Like, guys are talking in ways that I never heard before from places I've never been before, and they're mixing and matching with our guys. And to be honest, isn't that kind of what football is kind of about? Isn't that what we teach the whole world every week? Like, we're a bunch of different dudes from a bunch of different places and a different ways, but we all believe in the same thing and we all work hard together. Christ, that's one of the most awesome things that exists about football. I wish more people played and understood it.
All right, Rob, thanks so much for the time this afternoon and look forward to talking to you next week.
Hey guys, have a good week.
All right, thank you.